enjoyed that song. I was thinking this morning, I was just walking out after Sunday school, and I'm thinking about this week. It's been a long 2 years, hasn't it? It's been a long 2 years, and things are starting to improve a little bit with COVID and the COVID restrictions, and I got it twice myself, so I got the antibodies. It's great. We'll give transfusions out in the alley, but we've had a long 2 years, and you know, I want to thank each and every one of you for being faithful to the Lord, first of all, and for supporting Gospel Baptist Church and being here. And just, you know, sometimes we were just not able to be here. Sometimes we couldn't meet, and sometimes personally we were not well. And but thank you for just bouncing back and being right there. It's been a long 2 years, but God's been good to us, and we've been able to pay all of our bills here at the church. And we actually paid off this building during COVID, and a lot of crazy things have happened. Downstairs in Junior Church, they're enjoying a refreshed room down there that we just able to finish a couple weeks ago. And so Brother Barnes was working diligently. it was gross down there with all that dust. And so he took care of that and cleaned it. If you ever want to volunteer around the church, we got plenty of cleaning and dusting. Let him know. But we made a mess down there, and we're fixing it. Got brand new lights down there. And so we're working on some things and shampooed all the carpets. So things are well. And so thank you to each one of you for making things happen. I was looking at, I mentioned the Sunday school billboard that we had up 6 years ago. And I kind of went through the picture individually, and 70% of the folks about that were in that picture 6 years ago have moved on. God's moved them on somewhere else, and or they've moved on, and so there's about 30% left. The rest of us are brand new, and it's exciting to see what God's doing. He's putting together a church for the glory of God, and it just keeps on going. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, and here we are. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. He's giving his final thoughts in the conclusion of his first of two letters. So he writes 1 Corinthians, and then he writes 2 Corinthians to the church in Corinth. Now, there are some problems in this young church, and so he writes 1 Corinthians to correct the problems. Then he writes 2 Corinthians to kind of correct the correction to the problem. They kind of went a little over one side. And so he sends in these three men named, verse number 17, "I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied." So these three men apparently traveled to Ephesus where Paul was, and they give him a personal thumbnail sketch of what's going on in the church in Corinth and what needs to be fixed. And so he appreciates them being there. They consulted with Paul, and they bring Paul's advice back to the church, and thus we have this letter. The epistle is a letter of Paul to the Corinthians, and so he writes this letter, and they bring it back, and they work on some things. Now, why don't you look at verse number 15. Verse number 15 is our text verse this morning. "I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, where it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." Stephanas was Paul's first convert in this province in southern Greece, a province named Achaia, however you want to pronounce that. The area is located about 32 miles from Corinth. So he gets saved. Paul leads him to Christ, as Paul often did. And I was reading in Acts chapter 19 in our Sunday school. We have Sunday school every morning, 10 o'clock. Hope you come Sunday morning and have a great time. Classes everywhere. If you're married, this is the married class down here. And just kidding. But we got a married class upstairs. And we've got adult class. We've got ladies' classes. We've got children's classes, teen classes. And so come at 10 o'clock. And so Sunday morning, we're looking this morning at chapter 19. And Paul had filled Asia with the doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a great thing to do. Wouldn't it be great if we could fill Manchester and the surrounding community, the town where you live, with the doctrine of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? How that would change things. And so Paul here was preaching, and he said, "I had a man who trusted Christ as a Savior. It was in preaching or it was one-on-one. His name is Stephanas. He is the first convert in this area called Achaia." And then apparently Stephanas moved to Corinth, a big town, and he's there in the church. He became a leader in this new church. Now look at verse number 15. He has a reputation. "I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, for it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." I want to preach to you this morning on a house full of addicts. A house full of addicts. We're talking about family month this month. And here you have Stephanus, and not just Stephanus, you have a house full of addicts. That's what the Bible says. Can you believe it? It's the only time in the Bible we find the word addiction or addicts. And it says the only place, and here it is, Stephanus, and Paul is thanking God for it. Can you believe that? What a crazy thought. Now, people have reputations, and families have reputations. I was somewhere the other day, I guess I was at the library, and because I saw a book, and it said the Hatfields and the McCoys, right? And they have reputations, right? When you think about that, you think about a feud, right? People are fighting, right? If I said the Kennedys, you think of a bunch of drunkards, right? And womanizers and terrible, you know, sink or swim with Teddy, right? And you think of, you shouldn't talk about people after they're gone. I'm sorry. Sorry, wrong direction. this is not going well. But so you think of the Kennedys and you think of, you know, boozers and bootleggers, right? And all kinds of things. And so people have reputations. I'm trying to think of a good one, right? Think of your family. You think of a good reputation. But most of the time, bad reputations are ones that we remember. So when you think of a name, a reputation comes to mind. When we think of our name, think of your name, a reputation comes to mind. You have a reputation. I have a reputation. Others know you. Heaven knows you. And God knows you. Think about that. God knows not only our reputation, because sometimes you can have a reputation in your life might be something different if you're trying to project something that you're not. All right. But God knows who we are. And what are we known for? But ask yourself that question. For what am I known? What is my reputation? When people think of me, what is the first thought that they think of come to mind? What is it? What does Scripture say about their reputation? They were a house full of addicts. Hey, I've seen houses full of addicts. Unfortunately, people are addicted to different things. I've seen people addicted to alcohol, and you go into the house, and the house is full of addicts to alcohol, and there's alcohol everywhere, maybe bottles everywhere, and cans of beer everywhere, and people just crashed out on the floor, right, and vomit everywhere. I've been to the houses before, and there's just vomit everywhere in the sink, and you just wonder what in the world is wrong with this house. It's a house full of addicts. I've been in houses where people are addicted to drugs. And they're just kind of passed out over here and they're passed out over there. And some people, unfortunately, have needles sticking out of their arms before. And they have, you know, powder all over their nose before, depending on what they're addicted to. And there's this stench in the air. And, you know, the kids are not taken care of. There's dirty diapers everywhere. And there's, you know, the dog look mangy. And you wonder what happened to these people. Something became more important to them than their own family. Something became more important than their job. Something became more important than their health. Something became more important than everything, their house, than everything, because they were an addict and their whole house became a house full of addicts. Now, these people were different. What were they addicted to? What does the Bible say? They were addicted to the ministry of the saints. They were living and busy living to serve the needs of others. Notice it says, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. It was a whole family. You see, it wasn't just one person in the family. It was everybody in the family. They, not he. It didn't say, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that he has addicted himself to the ministry. He's talking about the whole family, the household. They have addicted themselves to the ministry. Hey, listen, it wasn't enough just for dad to be an addict. Dad was busy serving the saints. Dad was busy looking for needs. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. But it wasn't just dad. Hey, it's good if dad is addicted to the ministry of the saints. It's good if dad is serving other people. That word minister simply means to serve. You know, sometimes the title of pastor is minister, right? You heard that before? That just means a servant. That's all the word minister means. Minister means to find a need and meet a need and look for needs and fill a need and be a servant. That's what it means. That means the more important you become in God's economy, the more of a servant you are. Isn't that what Jesus said? Hey, who's the greatest? The disciples are jockeying for position, right? Who's the greatest? And Jesus said, here, let me wash your feet. The greatest is the servant. The greatest is not the one who figures out how to get the most people to serve them. That's the most selfish. That's the most prideful person. The greatest is the one who figures out, how can I serve the most people? Who can I serve today? And so here's Dad, Stephanus. He is busy serving the saints. He is busy looking for needs. Now, don't miss this. We expect an adult to do something for God. But when is this addiction supposed to start? If Stephanus were here today, what would he be doing? Ministering to the saints. If Stephanus was here today, he would be looking for a need to fill. If Stephanus was here today, he'd be feeding the hungry. If Stephanus was here today, he'd be clothing the cold and the impoverished. If Stephanus was here today, he'd be teaching someone the Bible. Stephanus might be a Sunday school teacher, like many of you taught Sunday school the last hour. He might be working in junior church, teaching someone the Bible. He might have a continued course and a new convert sitting there and teaching them the way of the Bible and the things of God. He might be going out into the highways and the hedges and compelling them to come to the Lord. If Stephanus was here today, he would be winning lost souls to Christ. If Stephanus was here today, I have no doubt that Stephanus would be visiting on a bus route. Hey, I got a call this morning. It's on the answering machine, number three. A fella called. Maybe he's here today. I don't know. And he said, hey, somebody left a piece of literature from your church on my door. And he said, I just wanted to come and visit your church. Could you call me back? I called them back this morning. Somebody was happy about it, right? Right, Brother Tim? So he's happy about it. Brother Tim saw us knocking on the door. He thought we were Jehovah's Witnesses. It was Brother Barnes and somebody. And who are they? Brian. Oh, James. Yeah. Yeah, he is the true Jehovah's Witness. Yeah. I have him arrested. Oh, it's America. Even Jehovah's Witnesses can do that, all right? But isn't that great? And so I have a feeling Stephanus would have been out there knocking on doors and inviting people to church and leaving gospel tracts and running a bus route. He would be an usher this morning. Wasn't it great to see these guys up here shaking down people for offerings? I mean, having our ushers up here, and I appreciate our men. And we had a meeting last week of the husbands, and the whole office was full, 20-something men. And we'll have a meeting of fathers next week, okay? And be a lot of men in there, and that's encouraging. So, men who are busy serving God, like our ushers, like you godly men here this morning, Stephanus said, you know what? I am going to be involved. I am going to serve. I'm going to find a need. I'm going to meet a need. I'm going to look for something to do. I'm going to look for something that needs to be done. I'm not going to ask somebody to do it. I'm going to do it myself. Boy, I like that. He'd be a greeter. He'd be doing something. Had a person tell me last week, I came to church and they said it was a friendly church. They're not here this morning. they live far away. But they said, you know, it's too far, so we got to find somewhere. But if we lived in town, this is where we'd be going. Isn't that encouraging? You don't live too far away, okay? New York is not too far away. Come back. But Stephanus would be saying, okay, how can I meet a need? How can I, there's some dirt. I got to fix it. I got to pick it up. There's a person that needs help. There's a person who's broken. How can I help them? In this house full of addicts, don't miss it, Stephanus was addicted to the ministry of the saints. But his wife was also addicted. We don't know her name, but there's a household. Here was a house. Here was a family. Here was a husband, Stephanus. Here's Mrs. Stephanus. That's what we'll call her, okay? Usually when moms are addicted, it's a bad thing, all right? Moms get addicted and they start neglecting their kids, right? Moms get addicted and sometimes they addict their unborn babies, right? And then the state comes in and they put them into foster care, right? And then sometimes they get reunited, sometimes they get adopted. Sometimes the kids are unfortunately addicted, they're born addicted. Wouldn't it be great if they were born addicted to the ministry of the saints? Wouldn't that be great? I mean, not born addicted to some crazy substance, right? But here is mom, and she is addicted. Usually it's a bad thing, but this case, addicted to the ministry of the saints, it's a good thing. Hey, she could have been addicted to a lot worse things. She could have been addicted like some moms are to soap operas. And just sat there and dad's off at work and he's paying the bills, right? And he's out there working and mom's at home living some fantasy life about some crazy guy that she never met, some movie star. How, boy, if you just were, wicked and you were immoral, you could go live with somebody else. You wouldn't need that husband and you'd have a broken marriage and get divorced and marry somebody else. That's wicked. These soap operas need soap. They need to be cleaned up. I don't even know if they still have soap operas on, but it's wicked. Now, we've come the wrong way, baby, all right? She could be addicted to those things, too, those coffin nails, right? She could be addicted to nicotine and addicted to cigarettes and shorten her life. She could be addicted to alcohol. She could be addicted to a lot of things. She could be addicted to computers, right? What a wonderful thing when a husband and a wife are serving the Lord together with each other. What a wonderful thing. Here is the household of Stephanas. And Paul makes note of them by name. And he said, here is a husband, Stephanas, and here is his house. And they, not just dad, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Hey, you know, sometimes you're going to have to addict yourself. Because you know what? Saints ain't always pretty. And saints ain't always from New Orleans. And saints don't always go marching in. And sometimes saints are more ain'ts than they are saints. And sometimes you got to say, you know what? If I'm going to, they have addicted themselves. They did it themselves. They said, okay, we're going to go up over and above the call of duty. And we're going to on purpose look for a need to fill on purpose, love somebody on purpose, come out of ourselves and be, you know, I'm really a shy person. I'm an introvert. Ask my dad. He lived with me all my life. And well, it's coming back again, right? And I'm an introvert. I'm a quiet. But I grew up in an only child. I mean, I never argued with my brothers and sisters. I was the best kid in the house. And but if, you know, I was quiet. I just didn't just be quiet and just you leave me alone. I'll leave you alone. And sometimes you just have to come out of yourself and say, okay, if God wants me to do something, I'm just going to do it. And now I'm not. Now I never am quiet. Okay, but you have to say, okay, there's a need to fill. There's something to do. I'm supposed to do it. And bless God. Can we do that? Yeah, bless God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. It's in the Bible. We're supposed to do it. And so mom got busy and she said, okay, my husband's not going to be out serving the Lord and ministering to saints and me just ministering to myself. I am going to minister to the saints as well. So Mrs. Stephanas, whatever her name was, she got busy ministering to the saints and she addicted herself. Now you got Mr. Stephanas, he's addicted. You got Mrs. Stephanas, she's addicted, serving the Lord together. Mrs. Stephanas, the addict. Mrs. Stephanas, addicted to ministering to the saints. Mrs. Stephanas, not thinking of herself. Mrs. Stephanas, putting others first. Mrs. Stephanas, looking for opportunities to serve. The early church had a home. Don't miss this. The early church had a home for addicts. You hear about home for addicts all the time, right? And I heard about one this week. There's a home for addicts. There's a couple homes. And, you know, that's good. And we've sent folks who are addicted out to homes for addicts and to get help. Thank God they're doing fine. They come back and they're doing fine. Thank God for that. But you know, the early church had that. So it's not something new. It's not something novel. It's not something that was just invented. Matter of fact, let's look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 5. The early church had a home for addicts. But it wasn't for anybody except for addicts. If you weren't an addict, you weren't taken care of in that early church. Because the Bible says that, especially ladies. They took apart this house down here on Union Street. They did a really good job, didn't they? You see that? Battered woman's shelter. They took it all the way down to the... I mean, that thing's been there for like 200 years. It's impressive. Now they're fixing it. It looks beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful house. And it's just for ladies. If you're a guy, I've tried to get in there before because I had ladies come to church. Knock, knock, knock. They go, you're a guy. Get out of here, right? Don't come in here. This is just a way for ladies in the early church to be taken care of by the church. But they had to be an addict. See, how do you know that? Because the Bible says. Really? I want to see that. Yes, they took care of widows when their husband died. But you know, the poor lady, if she wasn't an addict, she couldn't get help. Where do you find that? 1 Timothy 5, verse 9. You think I'm lying, right? Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, so 60 years old. Well reported of for what? Good works. Oh, she had to be an addict. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. What's the Bible say? The church was obligated and is obligated to take care of widows. But the widows have to be an addict to ministering to the saints. Hey, if this widow was self-serving, guess what? Your husband kicks off. Hey, you want to make a good widow someday? Go find somebody's feet to wash. Yeah, go find somebody to serve. Go find some good works. Go find some afflicted and relieve them. And then you can come to the church and say, hey, the Bible says I should be taken care of. Why? Because I've been an addict all my life. Is that in the Bible? We need to do that. Ladies, hey, it's not time just to, you know, powder your nose and put lipstick on your lips. Look, hey, that's wonderful. I'm all for it. The barn needs painting painted, all right? But the most important thing is we ought to get busy finding people and serving people alongside of her husband. Amen. It was quiet in here. Okay. Bunch of addicts. The church cared for widows who were addicted to the ministry of the saints. Here's this lady, Mrs. Stephanus, looking for opportunities. Here's this lady seeking a good work. Here's this lady teaching her children and bringing up her own children as addicts. What a terrible lady. No, what a wonderful lady. Hey, Dad is addicted to ministering to the saints. I am addicted to ministering to the saints. And the children are going to be addicted to ministering to the saints as well. Hey, if you have lodge strangers. Hey, there's a way to do that in the modern day. You know, missionaries come through. Hey, they're wonderful people. I wouldn't lodge strangers. Hey, just take them in off the street. That's dangerous. But there are people, sometimes they come through and they're a missionary, like we've sent families to the mission field, right? Like the Wilsons are coming in a couple of weeks. And you know what? Hey, they need a place to stay. Well, you know what? Sometimes they want to stay in a hotel. Sometimes they need to stay in a hotel. But sometimes we bring them into our house. I remember having the Dave Carter family when I was a kid. And they ate at our house. I can't remember if they stayed at our house. Our house was really small. And then we had the Rick Martin family went to the Philippines. And now they're kind of like household words. They came to our house, man. They just got married. They didn't have any kids yet. I remember sitting at the table across from these missionaries, and my mom cooked a good meal. My dad was sitting there, and I was sitting there, just the three of us. We had plenty of room because I was the only child. And so we'd bring in missionaries to our house. My mother was an addict. Can you believe that? Rest her soul. She learned it from my dad. No, she learned it on her own. She learned it from the Bible. And so here is this godly admonition that ladies will be taken care of if they're addicted. And so she had brought in strangers, lodged strangers. If she have washed the saints' feet. Hey, that's pretty humbling. That's pretty dirty. That's pretty disgusting, washing the saints' feet. You know, they traveled and it was dusty. And they'd wash their feet when they come into the house. If she have diligently followed every good work. Hey, it's a lot of work to be an addict. But you know what the Bible says? Those who are not addicted to the ministry of the saints, look at the rest of the passage, look at verse 11. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. You could write down telephone, computer, apps, right? And not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies. Speaking things which they ought not, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Notice this. For some are already turned aside after Satan. Here is a younger widow, and she has not been an addict, and she has not relieved the affliction, and she has not lodged strangers, and she has not looked for opportunities to do good works, and she has not diligently followed every good work. Not addicted to the ministry, but because of that, she becomes addicted to herself. Verse 13. She becomes selfish. Tattler. I can't even talk this morning. That you're in a Pentecostal church. Tattlers. Busybodies. Okay, we have a lot of eggs downstairs. I just sound like a chicken. Okay? Addicted to herself. Where does that lead? Verse 14. Reproach. Where does that lead? Turned aside after Satan. Hey, if you're not following hard after God, you will turn aside after Satan. These are people in the church. These are saved people. They'll never go to hell if they're saved. But you can turn aside with your life and follow Satan if you want, and you can wreck your life. Listen, you can't follow God and follow Satan. You can't be addicted to the ministry of the saints and addicted to the devil at the same time. If I'm going to choose one, I'm choosing God. Get busy for God. Why? Jesus is coming. It is yourself versus others. I am addicted to something.
We are addicted to something or someone. Addicted to the ministry of the saints. Are you serving others? Look what the Bible says in Matthew 25. Don't leave your place here. Matthew chapter 25. If you and I are busy serving others, Jesus said, we are serving Him. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory with all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and He gave me meat. I was thirsty, and He gave me drink. I was a stranger, and He took me in, naked, and He clothed me. I was sick, and He visited me. I was in prison, and He came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee, and hungered, or fed Thee, or thirsty, and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee, a stranger, and took Thee in, or naked, and clothed Thee? When saw we Thee, sick, or in prison, and came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me, Jesus said. How do you serve others? You serve others and you're serving Christ. How do you serve Christ? You can't serve Christ without serving others. Serving others is serving Christ. So here was a house of addicts. What they do? They looked for opportunities. Dad was serving others. Dad was meeting needs. Dad was ministering to the saints. Mom was busy serving others and ministering to the saints. She was following after every good work and not being turned aside after Satan. Dad was an addict, an addicted husband. Mrs. Stephanus was an addict, an addicted wife. But the Bible says their house, verse 16, there were little Stephanuses running around. Little Stephanuses and Stephanuses. How do we say that, right? I have no doubt here there were boys and there were girls. It wasn't just a couple. It wasn't like a Priscilla and Aquila. Paul probably would have just mentioned them by name. He said, man, I don't remember how many kids they had, but they had a lot of kids. And I'm just going to say, the house of Stephanus. He couldn't remember all their names. He didn't write it down. But he said, you know what? The house. Dad is busy, addicted to the saints. He's an addict. Mom is addicted to the saints and ministering to the saints. All the kids, they're fanatics. They're visiting to the, ministering to the saints. Serving Jesus is for children, and serving Jesus is for young people as well as parents. Serving Jesus is for youth and teenagers. Serving Jesus is for children, not just parents. Hey, think about this. So, I know what it is. I don't have to serve Jesus until I'm an adult because adults have a God gene. Yeah, when you turn 18, God just unscrews your head, puts this gene in you, poof. Now you can serve Jesus, right? Or when you're 21, right? And it gets older and older because kids are maturing later and later now, right? And now it's 25, now it's 30, you're still living in your mom's basement. All right, don't do that, okay? The cockroaches won't even like you. Get out! This cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife. I don't want to live in my mom's basement. I want to live with a wife, amen. I've been living with her 32 years. It's been marriage, heaven on earth, amen. Christian, what took you so long, man? Never mind. That's all right. You're an outlier. You're okay. You figured it out. No. Didn't find the right one. Wait till you find the right one. Gotta find the right one first, all right? Don't marry the wrong one. Now, adults do not have some God gene that they begin serving God when they're old. Serve God when you're young. I'd like to think that adults that serve God as children. And they said, you know what? I'm not going to stop when I'm an adult because it doesn't stop. The statute of limitations doesn't run out when you leave the house. Just because you are an adult and you grow up and you're mature and you got a driver's license and you can join the military and you can legally drink alcohol doesn't mean you have an ability to do wrong things and be stupid and ungodly. You ought to serve God with your life till you're 157. Then you can stop. Because nobody's going to be that old. Serving Jesus is for children and young people. It is a choice developed when you're young. I wish you could have sat with me on Thursday. I sat with a man on Thursday who sat right here in this room. He might be watching this morning. And he's dying. And he said, would you come and visit? And we visited. I sat with that man on Thursday, and with tears, terminal, he said, I have so much that I want to do for Jesus, but I can't. He's dying. He won't be here long. He's my age. And he said, I have so much that I want to do for Jesus, but I can't. I saw myself laying there and I thought, I hope I don't end up like that, where I'm laying in a bed dying and I can't even stand up. And I have regret saying, I wish I could do more for Jesus. Serve others alongside your children. You know what that'll do? That'll give them a heart for others. Hey, if you're busy serving God, Emmanuel, and your kids get busy serving God, and they serve God alongside of you, man, they're going to say, man, let's not stop. Let's just keep on doing it. Let's just keep on serving. Man, it's fun. And they serve God alongside of you, and they see you having a great time, and they don't hear you backstabbing people when you get home, right? And they say, man, this serving God thing, Dad likes it. Hey, Mom likes it. Hey, it's just normal. I should like it. It'll give them a heart for others. It'll give them a passion for the lost. Randall, a couple of weeks ago, you and I and my son were sitting in the living room over here. And my son got to hear me present the gospel and lead a couple to Christ. And that's priceless. That's priceless. Dad isn't just talking about it. Dad's doing it. Dad isn't just, here, you do, you serve God, you win others to Christ. Dad's out there doing it. They give them a passion for the lost. Hey, here's a good one. When you are addicted to the ministry and your family's addicted to the ministry and you bring your children with you, it will help them to see the wages of sin without personally suffering the wages of sin. Listen, we took our children. We were married for 14 years before we had kids. Man, after 14 years, you get used to doing stuff a certain way. And all of a sudden, who's that? Especially the way they came, right? Like, there's no 9 months warning. And all of a sudden, you're like, wow, instant kids. Wow. Now what do we do? You guys say, hey, you know what? I'm still going to be addicted to the ministry. So you know what you do? You pile the kid in the car seats. Aren't those challenging? I thought I was a pretty smart guy until I met my first car seat. Then I realized I am dumb as a box of rocks. They have the little ball bearing in there. Remember those? Yeah. And I put it in backwards, I think, the first time. Like, poor kid. Traumatized. Probably never be the same. But, you know, put the kid in the car and go bring some groceries to somebody who's hungry. You could do that. Hey, kid can go for a ride. They don't know where they are anyway. They don't know what day it is. They don't care. Right? Hey, put the child, take the child with you and go give somebody a blanket who's freezing. Hey, take the child with you and go give somebody a gospel track. Hey, take the child with you and bring him into class with you. Okay, you know what? You got to just put him in there. Man, I took those kids on the bus. I couldn't take both of them at the same time because they were 11 months apart. I'm like, man, I'm going to torture myself, right? So we take them one every other week. Every other week, one to go with, one to stay home. Then the next week, you get to come with. Hey, and we put a seatbelt on the bus because there wasn't one on the bus. I drilled a hole myself in that first seat. Got splinters, right? Put a seatbelt on the bus. I said, bless God, we're putting a seatbelt on that bus. I'm taking those kids with me because I got to drive it. But you know what? I'm going to have a little addict right here behind me who's going to say, I don't even know how to get to church. We have to go get the bus and go pick up everybody. And it's never a straight line. Always takes 2 hours to get to church. Why is that? Because we take people with us. Amen. Bunch of addicts. Hey, this morning, I think our daughter's probably in the nursery serving. Son's in junior church this morning serving, right? Praise the Lord. So you go and you see the wages of sin. I remember the first time I took one of my kids into a house and somebody was drunk and they were acting like drunk people do, like really bad. And they're just like... I would get back in the car, and of course, you know, and they start, Dad, oh, why are you stepping on my foot, right?
And you get back in the car. Dad, were they drinking alcohol? Yes. Oh, I never want to drink alcohol if that's how people act.
Dad, were they on drugs?
Yeah.
Dad, if that's how people act on drugs, then I never want to take drugs.
Thank you, Lord. How do you learn that? By ministering to the saints, by ministering to other people, by reaching, by loving people in the gutter and bringing your family with you and saying, listen, we're not going to get in the gutter and live in the gutter, but there's somebody in the gutter and they need our help. Let's help them. There's somebody that's broken. Let's bring the balm of Gilead and watch Jesus do something in their life. And they say, wow, that really works. I like it. Notice some things about this household. Oh, let me give you four quick things about addicts. Hey, when you're an addict, guess what? It's never enough, right? Hey, you get addicted to the ministry, you want more. Number two, you act differently. Addicts act differently, right? About once a month, some guy's trying to fly out of the parking garage over here. Like, yeah, woo! I'm like, what in the world? Some guy's out in the parking garage thinks he's a bird. And I'm like, man, they act differently, right? When you're addicted to something. I remember we had a guy on glue. Don't do that. That's why they make glue smell like oranges, right? And he was a glue sniffer. And you remember who I'm talking about, Brother Dave. And he was a glue sniffer, and he thought he could fly, and he jumped off the porch and broke his leg. Remember him? Okay. People act different when they're on drugs, okay? When they're addicted, they act different. You are not Big Bird. You're not even Little Bird. Hey, when people are addicted, it's obvious to all. Hey, if you'll be addicted to the ministry of the saints, other people are going to know that person there, they're addicted to the ministry of the saints. They are really the real deal. Number four, when you're an addict, you'll do anything to get more.
Yeah.
I started saying, you know what, kids? We're not only going to church, we're going to Sunday school. Wow. You know, my mom and dad, they drugged me when I was a kid. They drugged me. This is my dad sitting right there. He drugged me when I was a kid. Now, statute of limitation. He drugged me to church. He drugged me back on Sunday night. He drugged me back on Wednesday night. My mama drugged me to church clean. They drugged me. Drugged me to church. Praise the Lord for a bunch of addicts. You know what? He's still addicted. This morning when I woke up after he did by about 2 hours, he's downstairs at the kitchen table reading his Bible. Still at it. A lot of follow through. Brother Ariel, you teach pitching, right? You get a pitcher, releases the ball right there, and it ain't going 100 miles an hour. Okay? It's going to stop. Right? It's going to be, everybody's going to hit that one out of the park. You get a batter, makes contact and stops, you know what you're going to get? It's called a bunt. Okay? Right? A lot of follow through, right? And the legs, and sometimes, you know, the whole body, right? It's everything. Take that bat, you swing it around. Sometimes they even throw it, right? You're not supposed to do that, okay? A lot of follow through. Hey, keep following through. Oh, the kids are off of college now. Don't have to be an addict anymore. Hey, your kids are still watching you. Hey, dad's 83 now. Don't have to be an addict anymore. Time to read the Reader's Digest and you know, just be whatever. Follow through. Oh, that's convicting. I think I better get my Bible out and read it. Thank God for addicts. Notice some things about this household. Look at chapter 1 and we're done. Chapter 1. Maybe we're done. Chapter 1 and we're done. Nearly. Verse 16. Here's Paul. He ends the letter with Stephanas, but he begins the letter with Stephanas. Verse 16, chapter 1. And I baptize also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. Okay, I noticed some things about this household. Number one, they were a saved household. Hey, he didn't baptize anybody who didn't know Christ as their Savior.
And he only baptized people after they knew Christ as their Savior. And Paul said, I preached the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And Stephanus received Christ. And Mrs. Stephanus received Christ. And the little Stephanuses and sisters all received Christ. And he said, then they got baptized. A saved household. Isn't that great to have a saved household? If you have one, you thank God for it. If not, you're praying that God, that they get saved. And so here they are, a saved household. They were a sanctified household. It said in our passage in verse number 16, chapter 1 and verse 16, I baptize also the house of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptize any other. And then you go over to where we started in chapter number 16 of 1 Corinthians, verse 16, that ye submit yourselves unto such, the house of Stephanus, the people who have addicted themselves to the ministry, that ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Here they were. They were some folks who not only got saved, because some people just get saved, boom, and they get their fire insurance policy from hell. And they're on their way to heaven and they're saved, yet so as by fire. But they never follow through and labor and try to see somebody else saved and grow. But here they were. They were a sanctified household. Hey, do you know in the first century, baptism was a significant symbol? If you got, that's how we got our name, Baptist. This is a Baptist church. But Baptists didn't name themselves. The people who hated Baptists named Baptists. We were first called Anabaptists. The word Anna means re. Re-baptizers. Hey, you got baptized as a baby. You got sprinkled as a baby and you didn't know what you were doing. And we said this washes away your sins. It takes you to heaven, gives you eternal bliss, whatever. And now you trusted Christ as an adult, as a young person, and you got baptized. You're a rebaptizer. So they called us Baptists. Because baptism always comes after salvation in the Bible. But if you got baptized in the first century, second century, third century, and even into the dark ages, 1500s, right? You had a mark on you. Hey, you're a follower of Christ. You're a follower of that way. I'm just going to give you some references because we're out of time. Acts 9, verses 1 through 2. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, brought letters to Damascus, and he was hailing any of that way and bringing them to prison. Hey, you wanted to get baptized. You publicly identified, I am saved by Jesus Christ. I'm identifying with Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He's the one who's saving me, and I want everybody to know. And they said, you know what? There's a price on your head, sir. There's a price on your head, ma'am. Saul of Tarsus will be hunting you before the sun goes down. And he killed many. Acts chapter 19, verse 9. Acts chapter 19, verse 23. Acts chapter 24, verse 14. That way, the people of the persuasion of Jesus Christ, who's the Messiah, were hunted and exterminated. But the household of Stephanus says, you know what? We don't care. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ. We will identify after that as a Christian by being baptized. And Paul baptized them. He says, okay, these people really stuck their neck out. Notice a warning, the last thing. The end of the chapter, we read those two funny words that we didn't know what they meant because they're difficult, right? Verse 22, 1 Corinthians 16. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha. The first word anathema means accursed. It's a Greek word. It means devoted to judgment. The second word, Maranatha, is a Syriac word. It says, the Lord cometh. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be devoted to judgment at the coming of the Lord. If you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to deal with him when he comes. If you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, here's good news. You may love him. If you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, can I say this? He loves you. Many of us started out as an enemy of the cross of Christ. Saul of Tarsus did not love the Lord Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ loved him. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, Lord, no man calls Jesus Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? His life changed because he trusted Christ as a Savior. He won Stephanus to Christ. He won Stephanus' wife to Christ. The house, the household, the children. He baptized them. They became a bunch of addicts.
ministering to the saints. Wouldn't it be great if every one of us were an addict? I know some of us said, well, I was an addict before. I didn't like it then. Now would I like it now? It's something different, okay? Addicted to the ministry of the saints. Find a need. Fill it. Find someone who needs help. Help them. Find something that needs to get done. Do it. Find somebody that needs to be ministered to. Serve them. Not just dad. Not just mom. Not just one day of the week. Not just the parents. Not just the big people. The young people. The children. Get busy serving others. It will give your children a heart for others. It will give them a passion for the lost. It will help them to learn that there are wages of sin without experiencing the wages of sin and the consequences firsthand. It's never going to be enough. You'll act different. It's obvious to all, and you'll do anything to get more. How do I know if I'm addicted? Well, do you have enough of God, or do you need more? Well, I got enough. Well, you're not an addict yet. You ever seen? I mean, they're desperate, right? I mean, listen, we had people over at our other building. I mean, they were chasing down a car one day, banging on the back of the car, trying to get some money for their addiction. Remember that? Boom, 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 boom. Hey! Never had enough. Hey, do you, my heart panteth after thee, O God. Do you long for God and ministering to others? Let's pray.